lost in the fog of a cosmic storm. Floating on whimsical wavelengths is the norm. Dancing through the stars, chasing spectrums of light. Riding the waves that are just out of sight.
It's time for Whimsical Wavelengths, and I'm your host, Jeff. Now, I've been foreshadowing that we'd be removing, or maybe trying to make tinfoil hats obsolete. Every time I write a new episode, it causes my brain to come up with more ideas, like, what's the science behind metal hats? Could aluminum foil protect you from psychic electromagnetic attacks? Well, that's not what today's episode is about. So, back to setting up the actual topic. Here, on Whimsical Wavelengths. Remember the scientific method? Hypothesis, test, evaluate, discard, plus new hypothesis, or keep the hypothesis and retest, depending on the data? More to the point, what refutes science? Obviously, more science. And then, there are conspiracy theories. They start in a similar way. They start with a concept or idea based on observations or a thought experiment. That is as far as they are truly similar, I guess. Conspiracy theories start with a conclusion and work backwards to prove the idea. They don't design tests with empirical data and math. I've never seen an online conspiracy theorist use math or any clear test to prove or disprove it. Conspiracy theories are not science. I would argue there are no conspiracy theories. None have been proven true. Not one, because they are reactionary, and they use the past to build a present or future. Conspiracies and cover-ups are a real thing, however. But they are about people and are about episodes of the past, usually involving militaries, policies, police, or discrimination. There's lots of examples out there. MK Ultra was people doing horrible things to other people. Tobacco companies placing advertising and paying people to deflect from the data. Fossil fuel companies paying for advertising and people to obscure mounting evidence of harms. And that last one, about fossil fuel, that can fall into two different conspiracies. Leaded gasoline and climate change. I definitely need to revisit the leaded gasoline story at another time. It is one heck of a story. My point is that there's real conspiracies. However, they are people-centered, not data-centered. And there's direct evidence that is usually found out to show how the people were involved. The data doesn't change. Climate change data is repeatable and clearly shows a warming planet, the speed of which is caused by us humans releasing greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. The data shows tobacco is bad for one's health. The data shows the damage done to those who were part of the MK Ultra tests. One last public service announcement, or PSA. I guess, for myself, it is too late. I am leery getting into these topics, even though I find them incredibly interesting and fascinating. I will do my best to stick with the scientific principles. What is the data? How does the process or equipment work? In other words, I'm going to stick to the repeatable data. I'm not going to go into the politics or the recognized religions. Conspiracy theories are, however, rooted in beliefs. And these days, they seem closer to the mainstream of the politics of today. Denying climate change is human-caused is one example. If my listeners have repeatable data or observations that are not based on people, not centered on people, that can disprove the current understanding, step right up and use the email in the show notes, or publish it in a peer-reviewed journal. This podcast that I am doing right here, Whimsical Wavelengths, is a passion project in science communication. And at this writing, yeah, it's cost me money and time. Time well spent, to be honest. So therefore, and thus far, at least at this writing, I am truly independent. And well, on the topic, if you notice something and feel the need to report a mistake that I've made as part of this podcast that I should correct, also use the email in the show notes, and I'll get around to it, I promise. I might have to do some research first to make sure that I was in fact wrong. So, what about conspiracy theories or false beliefs are we taking on today? Well, it's one many probably have not heard about. The High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, or HARP. It seems like every technology that people don't really understand ends up being the center of some kind of conspiracy. HARP is located in Gakona, Alaska, a research project between the government agencies like the U.S. Navy, Air Force, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and the University of Alaska. Its stated purpose? To study the ionosphere and its potential to improve radio communications and surveillance technology. It was mostly shut down in 2014. However, the equipment is still run for some studies by the University of Alaska. Logically, I want to start by setting up the science. What is it? What is the underlying data? What processes are at play? And how does the system work? And then explore the topic at hand. However, I think I'm going to try to flip it and reverse it. Let's start with what some people think this program can do. Oh, and one more public service announcement. Unless you really want to mess up your internet algorithms, don't search for this stuff without first going into private or incognito mode or something, so it doesn't keep feeding you more garbage, because then you got to delete all your history. Yeah, I kind of forgot. So my feeds are full of scientific BS now. And just in case you're wondering, yeah, here's one example I find hilarious. It's perfectly fine to believe crystals have healing powers, as long as you're not trying to convince people to forgo scientifically proven life-saving techniques. I really don't have a problem with it. That said, I suggest don't decorate the center of your steering wheel with crystals. It will turn your airbag into a claymore, an anti-personnel mine, if you will. So, conspiracy claims about HARP. They're expansive. Well, the most spread fall into five different categories. Weather control, earthquakes and natural disasters, mind control, military weaponization, and global surveillance. So we'll kind of tackle these one by one, what broad brush the conspiracy theorists are saying, and just kind of go back at it with just why that isn't possible, for obvious reasons. So the first one, weather control. Unlike other ionosphere research centers around the world, only HARP has the ability to focus that energy from a field into a specific spot in the atmosphere. They can be much more targeted with how they apply all that power that they have. So the idea goes that HARP can direct the energy anywhere. A good conspiracy does need some kind of corroborating evidence, though. And there was a report written back in 1996 called Owning the Weather 2025, written by some military personnel. Let's be clear, they were not scientists. It read more like a science fiction piece. It makes the argument that as technology advances, the military should use it to turn Mother Nature to their side. To use Mother Nature as a way to own the battlefield. If you can create fog, that's going to help you when you're attacking, etc. However, the report clearly states, artificial weather technologies do not currently exist. We do employ techniques to modify the weather, however. A great example from the Canadian province of Alberta. Now, for Canada, the two costliest, Mother Nature disasters were hailstorms. The first, in 2014, caused $524 million in insured damages. Another storm cost $1.3 billion in 2020. This includes vehicle damages and everything else. For this, to try to mitigate the problem of hail, they fly specially modified planes into the beginnings of storms and spray silver iodide. The amount of silver iodide used is not harmful to the environment, and it reduces the size of hailstones. It does not stop the storm, just causes more particles in the clouds to form. So as the particles are in the cloud, there's more to nucleate or grow hail. It causes more hailstones overall, but they end up being smaller, and therefore cause significantly less damage. So, we can affect the weather, and militaries throughout the ages have thought about the best ways to use weather to their advantage. Just because those two things are true doesn't mean we can control it. When you get down to it, the energy output required to manipulate weather patterns is far beyond what HAARP can produce. Even if it could produce enough energy, the atmosphere is not a fully measured system. It has too many unknowns to predict what the energy would do. The most sophisticated weather models at best give a weak warning to major storms and hurricanes. The military does not have better models. They do not have teams of meteorologists working on this problem. So we can definitely discount the idea HAARP controls the weather. Number two, earthquakes and natural disasters. Here the idea is they're using microwave radiation, which is still in the radio frequencies, beneath the ground, strategically pinpointing fault lines. This fictional idea often cites coincidences between HAARP activity and natural disasters around the world. There's a lot of earthquakes that happen on a daily basis around the world. You can almost always find something that lines up. We are hardwired to find patterns. But in truth, I don't know where this one comes from. The weather control idea, if someone doesn't have a reasonable grasp about the atmosphere and the current state of technology, I can squint sideways and kind of see how you could get there. I guess this, though, it looks like the only two quote-unquote experts claiming this is an economist and a doctor of natural medicine. What they know about earthquakes and how the earth works in general, I have no idea. Earthquakes occur due to stress. Same idea as breaking a stick across your knee. Big earthquakes occur when rocks break and the slabs of the earth move. There are mechanisms to trigger earthquakes, like putting fluid into a fault, which reduces the amount of stress to cause the fault to move and break rocks and therefore earthquakes. But EM waves shot into the ionosphere, there just isn't any mechanism. I mean, I can't think of a mathematical way to show how that would affect the fault systems. Same goes for the sun, too. However, we could get into the weeds on that one to investigate why that idea just won't fully go away. And that could be an interesting episode one day. Anyway, as a volcanologist and geophysicist, I don't see a way HAARP can affect earthquakes. Period. I have no idea. Three. Some people claim the facility is attacking the citizens of the world telepathically, inducing thoughts with low-frequency vibrations. This is just so wild. Science fiction based on ideas that has been mostly discarded. Using a mind control device. Okay, well, it is true that the brain uses frequencies. So there is some science behind this idea. The brain is an electrochemical organ. It's able to produce up to 10 watts of electrical power. So the idea EM waves can affect an individual is solidly rooted in science. However, we just don't understand enough about the brain. This idea really is truly science fiction, created from MKUltra and other CIA documents that were declassified in the 90s. If they could control humans in the 90s with EM waves, the world would be a very different place today. We have no idea how to accomplish this, and the technology we do have essentially requires contact, like actual electrodes in the brain, to read or affect brain waves in humans and animals. Okay, so yes, there are significant ethical issues here with this type of research, which is why it isn't often done. In animal models, there has been some progress. By implanting electrodes on the brains of animals, we can control their movements in a fashion. You can even buy a kit to control a cockroach, enabling you to steer the insect left or right for a short while. This is actually real. You can buy it for the low price of $150 in USD. Note, I am not advocating for this. It isn't true mind control, but I guess it's close. Without surgery or implanted electrodes, there is almost nothing. Some work has been done using an anesthetized rat and a human wearing an EEG. Throughout all of this, a human can get the drugged rat to twitch its tail. Basically, what I'm saying is, right now, this is just not possible, in any sense of the imagination. Never mind throwing a bunch of power in the radio frequency range up into the ionosphere. A classic conspiracy idea. Sure, there's some real science behind the ideas and concepts, however, absolutely impossible under our current understanding, and is fully in the realm of science fiction. And quite frankly, may never be possible. But never say never. 4. It is a weapon for space warfare, disrupting satellites, and the like. Well, still not a thing with the HARP, or the High Altitude Auroral Research Program. However, this idea makes a lot more sense, logically. The data from the program is published, and there are civilian researchers. Not to mention the equipment is now completely in the hands of civilian researchers, with academic freedom to publish. And still, there's no smoke. There are more scientific reasons we'll get into in just a moment, but we can say that this is not directly a weapon for space warfare. And 5, finally, that it can hear all wavelengths broadcast on Earth, able to track individuals in global communications, tapping into the fears of the state and the others, controlling or taking away your freedoms. In other words, it's all about the wavelengths, man, and Uncle Sam controls them, okay? Well, this has some ephemeral scientific ideas backing it. It has a large radio antenna that can receive signals and can produce a significant amount of energy in the radio spectrum. However, the equipment is not designed to receive and monitor broad spectrum signals. It would also be very strange to have civilian scientists publishing results throughout the program and leaving the equipment with civilian scientists afterwards, if this was the real aim. Basically, it's infeasible and physically impossible. It's just not possible to be able to receive signals from all different devices and around the Earth. It's just ridiculous. So what is it? What is HARP? What is it studying? What has it accomplished? The High Frequency Active Aurora Research Program studies the properties and the behavior of Earth's ionosphere. So what is the ionosphere, you may ask? Well, the ionosphere is part of our outer atmosphere, located 80 to 600 kilometers above the ground surface. It gets its name because it's the region of our atmosphere that is ionized by the sun's radiation, an area of charged particles moving about that will have a direct effect on electromagnetic signals traveling around the Earth and through them, like radio waves. So HARP was designed to investigate this ionization and its effect on radio waves moving through the upper atmosphere. It does this by projecting up to 3,600 kilowatts of radiated power in a band from 2.8 to 10 megahertz, which falls into the HF, or high frequency band, of the electromagnetic spectrum. Okay, the naming conventions of radio waves are interesting in their own right, and I'm just going to rattle them off because I can. We start in the lower end with very low frequency, medium frequency, high frequency, very high frequency, ultra high frequency, super high frequency, and extremely high frequency. So therefore, we can deduce extreme is greater than super, and super is higher than ultra. Okay, completely useless in pop trivia, but could be useful for your next D&D campaign? Anyway, trust me on that it's useless in pub trivia. They never have enough science questions. So knowing the effect of our atmosphere on signals passing through it would obviously be important for a number of applications, from sending and receiving signals from outside of Earth to those we send and receive on Earth. Understanding how they are modified and reflected by those charged particles is important, including for the US military. The ionosphere, due to the density of charge there, can reflect signals back towards the Earth. So knowing how to achieve that allows some types of communications to travel further. This is especially important for submarines, which rely on radio communication when underwater. With better data and understanding of the dynamic ionosphere, we can look at GPS signals and actually get more accurate locations. Remote sensing could have reduced noise. It can also provide an important experience, an understanding of what we may expect when exploring the cosmos and other planets, which may have a much larger, more active ionosphere due to their proximal star.
So like so much and so much of science, we don't really know where this technology or the work that HARP has done is going to take us in the future. It's way too easy to jump off into conspiracy theories instead of really getting down to the reasons that we do this. There is a real military aspect to HARP. Signal analysis and being able to communicate and know how those communications change over distance may give you an edge. It's not surprising that the military is involved here. But that doesn't mean that there's some larger, nefarious part to all of this. Mostly, it's just the science. And unfortunately, a handful of people who then start talking about earthquakes and the like, and have zero experience with any of it. Like basically every conspiracy theory ever, it comes back to the people, instead of the science or the technology. So let's leave the conspiracy theories behind us, and take HARP for what it is, the technology that looks at signals and the ionosphere. And remember, there's peer-reviewed research using this equipment. You can find it. All the data's there. It's pretty transparent. So that's it for this episode.
If you've enjoyed the episode, subscribe. And if you have subscribed already, thank you. Tell a friend. Look in the show notes for a Patreon account where you can help keep this podcast running, as well as a Discord server for those Patreons who just want to ask me more random questions. And if I don't know the answer, I'll do my best to find the answer, or perhaps find someone who could do it as part of an episode in the future. Thank you so much.
Lost in the fog of a cosmic storm, floating on whims of the wavelengths is the norm. Dancing through the stars, chasing spectrums of light. Riding the waves that are just out of sight. In a world so chaotic that misbehaves, melodies that echo show us six always. Colors intertwine, painting the sky. We're lost in the rhythm as the universe flies by. Oh, we're tuned in, feeling the beat of the unknown. Can you hear it? It's echoing through your bones. In this melodic maze, we let